Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise Him. God bless you. Be seated. God bless you. Very good. How will heaven be? Joy, joy, joy. Amen. That is one thing that is sure there. And I thank God we have this praise team. Thank for the members, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in and through them. Father, it's marvelous in our eyes. Father, I exalt the horn of their ministry in the name of Jesus. Father, as we go into your world, ask that you speak through me, O Lord, to your children, both here and online, O God. Father, let the word that shall come forth be from the throne. And let it produce, O Lord, desired changes in the lives of those who we hear. In the name of Jesus, come against spirit of destruction. Ah, that you have preeminence, O God, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Praise God. This morning, by the grace of God, we'll be talking about a topic that is very familiar. It's not strange at all. Looks common and familiar to everyone. Religion, good works, and salvation. Praise God. What really led me to talk about this topic is it's like a challenge to what is happening in the now. Because in the scriptures, it's so evident that we're in the last days. And the Bible says, in the last days, many shall depart from the faith. Shall depart from the faith. They were once in the faith, but they will depart from the faith. And they will give it to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Praise God. And the songs we sang, the Christian song, exalted the name of Jesus. That the name of Jesus, the name above all else, name it in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. Names you have heard before. Names you have not even heard before. That name, Jesus, is the greatest. Amen. So, that is very fundamental to this message. God, that name is not an ordinary name. Amen. Yeah, but people take Jesus as an ordinary person. But he's not an ordinary person. Amen. Praise God. Now, a Christian research group carried out some work in 2021, Christian News. And this is what they found. In U.S., 60% of Christians believe other faiths also lead to heaven. 60% in the United States of America. This research was done 2021. Unfortunately, another one was done 2009, and this is what indicates, talking about those who even believe, like you and me. He, unquote, even among evangelicals who profess belief that an individual must be born again into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ in order to be saved, nearly as many Christians said, many religions can lead to eternal life. This may not mean anything to some people, but it meant so much to me. And by his grace, I'm a teacher of the word. And it's a challenge to me and other teachers to put right and put straight the word of God, the position of the Lord Jesus Christ in the scheme of things, both in heaven, on earth, and underneath the earth. That's why I was so excited when those sons were just exalted the name of Jesus, the name above all, incomparable. Jesus is not to be ranked with Satan. Say, oh, see Satan here, then Jesus. That's an insult to my Savior. Because Jesus is the creator of all. He created him as Lucifer. And even though he fell and then he rebelled and his name changed to Satan, he's never to be compared to God Almighty. A man of God has said that
Perhaps the only thing that you can even compare to God, that competes with God, God's sovereignty, is mammon, money. Put mammon there, then put God on this side. Never Satan. See, at equal. Because money competes for the soul of man and God also. Praise God. So with this said, we have to put right what salvation is really all about. Not only for your enlightenment, but for the enlightenment of other people who will hear this preaching this morning. And for the benefit of those who do not value salvation enough in the name of Jesus Christ. You don't earn salvation. You receive from dead works is cardinal to genuine salvation experience. In Acts chapter 2 verse 38, let's read it. Acts chapter 2 verse 38. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching the gospel, this is what he said. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yes, 3 points I want to bring out there. Repent. Repentance is cardinal and fundamental. Repent. Then be baptized. And then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Ghost. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Just like salvation is a gift to the unbelieving. That's how Holy Ghost is a gift to believers, those who have believed. You don't work for it. It's a gift. The earlier you have the benefit of Holy Ghost baptism, the better. Because it will make your Christianity enjoyable and pleasurable. Amen. Repentance from dead works is significant because it comes from a Greek word, nekroerga. And it refers to all human efforts. All human efforts, including religion, at righteousness, apart from God. Religion is one of the dead works. Ritualism, traditions, self-justification, all this can never bring about the new birth. Never. Many people live as though Christ's sacrifice was insufficient and still earning the weight of past failures, still carrying the weight of past failures and guilt, striving to earn what has already been given. If anybody will tell you that Jesus Christ is one of the ways to heaven and that there are many religions and some of them, if not all, can lead to heaven, that person is already in deception. And you don't have to listen to him or her. Period. There is only one provided way of worship of God that is acceptable to God Almighty. There is only one God, the creator of all. For the purpose of redemption, he came as a human being. That's God incarnate, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus is unique. That is why he is the Son of God. To you, when they say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, say, eh? Yes, I'm a son of somebody. You are a son of somebody. You are a son of somebody. You look at it that way. But that's not the meaning of the Son of God. The Jews recognize that the Son of God means God himself. And that is why they accused Jesus Christ of blasphemy. That you claim to be God. Of course he is God. Amen. One God who cannot die, who cannot be killed, but for the purpose of redemption, he had to come in the form where he could die for us. And that's Jesus Christ for you. He is not an ordinary man that you can compare to a superstar in America. Praise God. Religion, good works, and salvation. The Bible defines religion as a system of beliefs that shape a person's worldview and relationship with God. That's religion. Religions are systems of do's and don'ts to appease God. Christianity is a relationship with God in the person of Jesus Christ. Though generally described as religion, it is only in Christianity we have the person of Jesus Christ who claimed to be God and raised others from the dead, performed many miracles to prove his claim to deity and divinity, died and rose again from the dead, and claimed that he alone is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6. And that there is no one can come to the Father except through him. There are roughly about 10,000 distinct religions in the world. Different kinds of religion and belief system all over the world. The major ones you are familiar with includes Christianity, because they reckon it as a religion, but we know Christianity is really personal relationship with Christ. But let's categorize it as such. Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism, Judaism, Hinduism, Confucianism, Shintoism, etc., etc. Religion is man's creation of how to reach God, while Christianity is God's provided way to reaching him through Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Good works cannot save anybody. We are only saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. All of our good works outside of salvation are like filthy rags in sight of God. Isaiah 64, verse 6. Salvation is not earned by good deeds, but it's a gift from God. That one is very cardinal. It's only to be received by faith. Entrance into God's kingdom is only found through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 12. As many as received him, Jesus, he gave them power. He gave them rights. He gave them the privilege to become children of God. So if you hear of any religious man saying, we are all children of God. Which God? For there be many gods. Even Satan is regarded as the god of this world. Small letter G. When a false prophet tells you, oh, God told me, thus said the Lord. Which God? It depends. So God can be so many things to many people. There are false gods, and there is the true God. Amen. Entrance into God's kingdom is only through faith in Christ Jesus. His death on the cross paid the price. Amen. The gospel, the essence of the gospel. One, all have sinned and need salvation. That is what the gospel says. It's not looking at people say, that lady is very beautiful. She doesn't need salvation. That man is very handsome, or is very rich, or is very popular. Then they don't need salvation. Gospel doesn't talk that. The gospel that we preach, the true gospel. Each person needs to be saved. Everybody. Don't look at their faces. They all need to be saved. Each person can be saved. That's what the gospel tells us. Don't write off anybody and say, this person has sinned too much, can't be saved. That's you. But the Bible says that anybody who believes in Jesus can be saved. Romans 1, 16. The preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Amen? God wants each person saved. This is God's plan and will. This is the gospel. It's God's desire that everybody be saved. God has power to save everybody. But we know, but it's not everybody who will be saved. Why? Because it's not everybody who we accept. They regard salvation, the way we preach it, as too simple, and something that is too free, and so it's not valued. How can you talk about salvation when you don't do good works? There's a religion, they believe that, no, your acceptance to God depends on how good you are. So if you do many good works, compare that one to the bad works that you do. If the good works outweigh the bad works, then you are right in the sight of God. That's religion. But today we are talking about religion, good works, and salvation. Jesus is not one of the ways to heaven, but is the way. Amen. I'm not the one saying that. Listen to it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that had the Son had life. And he that had not the Son of God had not life. Can anything be clearer than that? Okay. Still more. 1 John 5, 19 to 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Is it there in your Bible? That's who Jesus is. If you now compare it to a creature, a popular person, a popular personality or something, a notable person in society, that is insult. After we are saved, we are expected to do good works that will result not only in praise to God, but lead to eternal rewards. I'm talking about three things: religion, good works, and salvation. Salvation had nothing to do with good works had nothing to do with your salvation. But after you are saved, you are expected to bring forth fruit of good works. Amen. In Revelation 22, verse 12, tells us that the Lord is coming and is going to reward us. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Your works, brothers and sisters, shall be rewarded. Amen. So don't downplay good works. Good works has a place in Christian's life. It has nothing to do with his salvation, but after you are saved, you are expected to do good works. First, to glorify God. Because when you do good works, you show people kindness, especially the poor. They are lifted up their holy hands and say, Lord, I thank you. They will roll on the floor and knock their head and say, God, I thank you. At the same time, they will thank you, whom God has used to do the good works. You see, it's double fold. You are going to get reward. First of all, they will thank you. That is pleasing to the flesh, good. But that's not all. God is going to record that on your account and reward you appropriately in due time. Amen. Matthew 5, verse 16. What does it say? Matthew 5, 16 brings out clearly that when you do good works, show kindness to people, it brings forth this result. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When you do good works, people will glorify God. Unknown to you, in their secret place, they are just appreciating God. We're just appreciating God. And they will also pray for you. Praise the Lord. Yes, we are to be zealous of good works. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Let's read it. Titus 2, 14. Titus 2:14, also Titus 3, verse 14. I'm going to read them. Talk about Jesus who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Are you a peculiar people? Yes, you are. If you are children of God, you are a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, zealous of good works. Don't downplay good works, my brothers, my sisters. It has a role to play in your eternal rewards. Amen. We are not going to get the same reward when we get to heaven. We are going to be rewarded according as our works are. But also know that the purpose of doing whatever you do as good works matters a lot. Because some of those called so-called good works may be disqualified. If the purpose is not right, if your heart is not right, you may not even receive a reward. But generally, all things be equal, you surely get rewarded if you faint not. Amen. Hallelujah. James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless widows in their affliction in the world and to keep himself unspotted by the world. So this as one place the Bible refers to religion, and in James a pure religion. Since Christianity is classified by the world, historia, and everything as religion, okay, in that regard, Christian religion, if I may use that word, is to visit the fatherless. What does that mean, fatherless? Fatherless are people who are somehow helpless. They are like orphans, whether they've grown big and all that, don't have a father figure in their life. No, they need help. So if you visit them, if you show kindness to them, show love to them, you are showing forth good works. Widows in their affliction. Widows. God has special place for widows. Widows. They occupy a special place in God's heart. And we should never, never, never grieve widows. It's just like orphans. God has special love for them. Now, let's talk more about religion. I'll give you examples of people in the Bible who were religious, but they were lost at the same time. And I'll tell you about contemporary, including my own testimony. Praise God. Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. And by the way, Pharisee was one of the religious groups among the Jews. They believe so much in the law, and their belief is that you just have to obey the law completely, 100%. Otherwise, you can't please God and you can't be saved. That is Judaism. They believe in the law. And the book of Hebrews, we are told that if the law were enough to save any man, then Jesus Christ wouldn't have come. But he came because the law was not possible to save anybody. The sacrifices that were made on daily basis were not enough, and they could not even wash away sin. They could only cover sins for a moment. That's in the Old Testament. But Jesus Christ came, and he shed his precious blood, his innocent blood, his pure blood, once and for all time, and he said, "It is finished." Praise God. "It is finished," he said. "You don't need to do any other thing for you, any man to be saved." Apostle Paul was a Pharisee. He was very zealous for God. Unquote. And this is what he said in Philippians 3, 5 to 6, concerning his past life. "They circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal," oh my God, "persecuting the children of God, the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." That was Paul. Left to you, if somebody had a blameless character like that, and you know, was so strict, obeyed the law, was there any need for him to be saved? You and I will say no. But God says, You are just playing religion. And therefore, he had an encounter on the way to Damascus in one of his religious pursuits to kill and to arrest Christians, all these people who say they believe in Jesus. He was arrested by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had a divine encounter. His religion could not save him until he had divine encounter on his way to Damascus. I don't want to dwell too much on that, but you know what I'm talking about. Another man in the Bible is Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee and a religious leader, but needed to be born again. Very far, I was a Pharisee doing all those good works like a former Saul who became Paul, you know, was not enough for him. He seemed to have loved Jesus, and so he came by night, possibly because he didn't want public show, because a VIP in the society, these are the real people in the society. See me going to that man that people hate. He say he's preaching a strange doctrine. So he went by night. And when he got there, he acknowledged. He said, thou art a teacher come from God. He acknowledged. Not that maybe. We know. We know that you are. But before he went to that thing, Jesus said, Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You must be born again. I thought I came to have some rapport with this man, discussion with this man, but he's just talking some strange things. How can a man be born again when he's old? Oh, Jesus explained to him. He said, you were born of a woman, but this one I'm telling you is the spirit. You'll be born of water and the spirit, born of the word of God that you hear. Word of God brings faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the spirit brings about conviction. When you realize you are a sinner and you repent of your sin and ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, he comes in as Savior. And that's when you experience the new birth. Cornelius was a Roman centurion, a soldier having at least 100 soldiers under his control. And look at his religious credentials and judge for yourself. One, he was a just man. He had good report among the people. He fasted. He was a devout man. He feared God. He gave much alms. He prayed to God always. And he saw vision. My God, such a human being. Does he need salvation? If you got this credential, this is this person. Oh my God. He's a ready-made man. This man is in heaven already. But he was just religious and not saved. Why? Because God realized this and he sent Apostle Peter to go and minister to him. And when Apostle Peter got there, he preached the simple gospel of salvation. The man believed with his household and all the people he invited. And Holy Ghost came upon them. And they got baptized that same night. Can't you see something else happened? He's a religious man with all these credentials. He wasn't saved. He needed to hear that word. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved and thy house. That's the game changer. Not religion. He had been religious all his life. Many people listening to me right now are religious, highly religious, but are lost at the same time. If Nicodemus was not saved, he was a Pharisee, he needed to be saved and he needed to be born again. You that's listening to me, you are religious, you need to be born again. If Cornelius was not saved with all those religious credentials, you too need to be born again. With all these religious virtues, he was not saved, and God had to send Apostle Paul, Peter, who preached to him and his household, and he believed and became saved. Thus, being a devout man does not save anybody. You are a devout man, devout woman.
You are just devout.
Fearing God like Cornelius feared God cannot save anybody. Demons fear God. They are not saved. James chapter 2 verse 19. Giving much alms, being a philanthropist like Pharisees and philanthropists cannot save. If that's what you are banking on for your salvation, oh, good word, I'm full of good word. Even some Christian can't match me, you know. Praying always as religious hypocrites all do cannot save anyone. Many men pray in hell. Even somebody, there was a man that prayed in hell in Luke 16, 23 to 31. Tells us a man who was praying and desiring that a message be sent to his brother so that his brother would not come to hell. But the Lord said, no, there are people still preaching. I have remnant there. They are still talking. So if they will not believe these ones that are talking and preaching, they wouldn't believe if somebody comes from heaven. Being just in the eyes of man does not mean one is saved. Having a good reputation of men does not mean one is saved. Fasting like hypocrites do. Hypocrites fast. Other religions, they fast. Fasting like hypocrites do also does not mean one is saved. God's own provided way of salvation is in the Son of God who died and resurrected for our justification. This is the gospel. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Praise God. Okay, let me tell you about contemporary people. You don't know Nicodemus. You never see him, and you may not see him except maybe in heaven because he got born again. Praise God. Now, not long ago, one of our pastors here, he was testifying about the goodness of God in his life. And he referred to his elder brother, who is a reverend father, but whom he has been praying for to be saved. I hope that doesn't confuse you now. Religion cannot save any man. Only faith in Christ Jesus can save. If you have faith in so many things, faith in Mary to save you, faith in the saint to save you, I'm sure you will not be saved. Only way to salvation is Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay? You may not know his elder brother, but I know my own elder brother. My own elder brother was for many years a church goer, very zealous in the faith. He was and is still married to one wife. He is a philanthropist to the core. He is very humble. He was baptized, confirmed, and observing all church rules and traditions. Notable financial pillar in the church. Recipient of national and international awards. Despite all these and many more, he was unsaved until some years ago. Many years ago, before I ever came here, he went for an individual retreat, him alone. He went to a monastery, and there he sought the face of God himself. But let me just give you a clue. I had been preaching to him. I had been talking to him. When I felt my own was not enough, I invited several men of God to talk to him about salvation. Sometimes he would just laugh at us. John, do you mean all these good people, very kind-hearted people, you know, in other religion, they are not making heaven? I said, oh, that is true. That's what the word of God said. At that moment, we don't dismiss this discussion. Period. No more. But I won't stop. Another person will come and talk again. We'll revisit the issue. When he will again ask that question, do you mean that all who don't believe in Jesus, they cannot be saved? said, no, don't bother me. However, I persisted. I kept on praying. If I went to any church, my utmost prayer request would be that my brother will be saved. I can't see this man lost and go to hell. No, he's too good. Nevertheless, religion cannot save anybody. That's why I persisted in praying. That's why God many men of God, you know, to talk to him about salvation. But when God did his work, I wasn't there. And this is to encourage you, if you have been praying for your relation, anybody say, oh, I've been talking to you, I'm tired. Don't be tired in praying, my brother, my sister. One day, somehow, somewhere. Yeah, what triggered him to go to that place to seek God was a friend of his, a youth friend of his. That one, I said, look, are you still continuing all this, your womanizing, all this, your the things you used to do in secret and all that? Aren't you tired? Can't you come to God? Because that man had now known God. So he talked to him like that. It was a challenge to him. This is my main man. This is my body. This is my youth friend. And he's talking a different language to me now. No, and my brother on his soul, I'll be talking and sending people. No, I'm going to see God. And there he met with God. Amen. He was changed. Right from that time, he became a brand new person. There was once upon a time, he faked being born again. He faked it so that we won't trouble him anymore. But alas, it did produce any change. Praise God. My brother, when he got saved, he was somebody else than the ordinary convert that we know. The zeal with which he now started to serve God, my God, never seen it before. This man will buy a bus to carry young men, young converts, young Christians to go out fishing for souls. He will spend money. He will visit elderly people like him, people of his own class. He will visit them, spend hours, talk to them until they give up, until they surrender. Some may not, but a good number of them did. VIPs in the society, in those states. Notable people you can think of. And God seemed to have sent it to special people like the elitist group, the obas, the chiefs, which hitherto had not been reached. Because conventionally, pastors don't even go there. But himself, he will carry crusade to Oba Palace in Benin City. People will attend. People will get saved. Chiefs, high chiefs. They will carry the same gospel to other towns and villages where there are obas. Highly placed personalities, notable politicians became saved as a result of his ministry. Even many pastors started to get to him, to learn from him, and he established a nobles fellowship. He calls his fellowship a nobles fellowship, where he disciples them up to today. That fellowship is standing. Praise God. And when he prayed for people, many will be healed. Many will bring walking aids to him. They will go back without those walking aids. Signs and wonders. Though in his church, they call him a deacon, but I know he's a notable evangelist. Praise God. And he told me one thing after he got saved. He said, John, why didn't you beat me? Oh, you would have taken to... No! You know the danger of hell. And you were just watching me. And if I had died, I would have gone there. I said, brother, there's nothing I could do more. I talked, I prayed, I sent people. Well, God did his own. It's not by power, it's not by mind. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of war, lest any man should boast. Okay, me talking to you. I was very religious. I was the first to be born again in my own family. We have a large family. I was baptized. I was confirmed. I was taking Holy Communion. I was a defender of the faith. When I say the faith, I mean the doctrine of that denomination. I had a big book, Questions and Answers, about the faith. And today now, I can give trust of God the way I said. Me, not me. I will look at the imprimatur. That's what we call it. The imprimatur. Is it written by a reverend father? If it's not, not me. I had nothing to do with it. I used to pity people who go about preaching the gospel from house to house and in streets. Oh, maybe people don't have jobs. Oh, if they had jobs, they wouldn't be doing this. I used to pity them a lot. But I didn't have assurance of where I would spend eternity myself. I didn't have the joy of the Lord, nor the peace that God gives. No. But I was highly religious, I can tell you. In fact, I wanted to become a reverend father. That was me. The reason why I did not become a reverend father was that I was so zealous to become one, and I was in form four then or so. And I said, I want to enroll to the seminary. He said, where's your GC? Where's your school start? He said, no, I haven't done that. You are not qualified. And my brother, who would have sponsored me, of course, he didn't want me to go that way. So that's how I did become a reverend father. I had a zeal for a long time. Never thought about marriage or anything. I want just to serve God until when I did my youth service, my eyes opened. Say, this scripture is true. It's no good that a man should be alone. I see. Then I started praying. That is the reason why I married late, so to say. I married relatively late because my colleagues married much earlier. But as for me, my attention was not in that direction at all. But somehow, in God's mercy, I got saved. Some people came to our church that time, one evening, and told us about salvation in Christ Jesus. I believed 100%. I was playing with a bead, they call it rosary. I was praying with that one religiously. Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, our Father, our Father, our Father, Hail Mary, Hail Mary. All those things, I was doing that religiously. That same night, I dropped it. I saw no relevance for it again. I can talk to my Father direct now. Wow. Brand new world. Praise God. That was 52 years ago. Now, I have eternal life, I'm sure. And that is why I go about to tell other people too. You can be lost and religious at the same time. Being religious, it does not mean you are saved. Far from being. Religion is man's way to God. Jesus Christ is God's provided way of worship. Person of Jesus Christ. Don't ever miss it. No Saint, no Mary, nothing, nothing, nothing. Only in Christ Jesus is there salvation. Praise the Lord. Religion without Christ ends in hellfire. Today is the acceptable time. If you are listening to me, you are not born again. This is the accepted time. Some people also ask the question. You say, believe in Jesus, then you'll be saved. What about those who never heard about Jesus? They are so quick to ask that question. What about those who never heard about Jesus? Huh? Okay, those who never heard about Jesus, God will judge them based on God's creation. The creation bore witness to them that God existed, and their conscience also. So there were those who feared God. They never heard about Jesus that time, and God will judge them accordingly. But let me tell you, before the gospel ever came, before Jesus ever came physically, you know, people like Moses, they were there. Abraham, they were there. Job, they were there. Didn't they believe God? I know that my Redeemer liveth. They will believe in resurrection like Job. So, the answer is in Romans chapter 1, 20 to 23. You can read it on your own. And also, in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, Apostle Paul, he came across certain religious people who had an inscription in the temple to the unknown God. They never knew God,
but there is God.
To the unknown God. Say, yes, I've come to tell you about that unknown God. And that unknown God has revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Believe him. And many people believed. Amen. So, in that scripture, Acts chapter 17, verse 30, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. So, nobody should hide. Say, those who have never heard about Jesus. Even with contemporary, if you believe that there are still some people who have not heard about Jesus, they will hear. And I want to announce to you that the reason Jesus Christ hasn't come yet. Because there are still those who will hear. And if you want to speed up the coming of the Lord, why not witness? Why not evangelize? So that many people who are supposed to hear, they will hear. Because God will not just judge people when they have not heard. He will not judge them unrighteously. God is a just God. So you give chance to everybody. There are those who have heard again and again and again, and they had it in their heart. That is their own. Those who have never heard, God will make it possible for them to receive the gospel. In the 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, thereabout, it talks about the reason why Jesus has not come, so that those who are ordained unto salvation, they will receive Christ. Right now, I want to give opportunity to those who have not given their life to Christ. You are listening to me online, and you are not yet saved. You are highly religious. People say you are very, very good. Your family people say you are very, very good. Even despite they are giving you awards, very, very good man, very, very good woman. That is religion and cannot save you. You need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why I'm talking to you this morning, to tell you the excellency of the name of Jesus. It's not an ordinary name. When you have Jesus, you have eternal life. When you have Jesus, you have both the Father and the Son. If you say you believe in God, you believe in the Father, but you don't believe the Son he has sent, you are lost and you need redemption. Therefore, I appeal to you right now, bow down your head wherever you may be. You have not known Jesus. You are just playing religion. Are you a child? Are you a daughter of somebody, a young person, young man, young lady? You are depending on your parents' salvation. When they tell you about Jesus, oh, born in a religious home. In fact, I was born and bred in a religious home. Going to the airport, dropped my wife in the airport. The cab driver, because we took a lift, I asked him a question. Do you love Jesus? Say, I love Jesus. Are you born again? Say, all my life, I was born in the church. I was born in the church, surrounded by Christians. You know, I see. But have you been born again? Well, he pondered and said, it's not really born again. I led him to Christ. Why was he driving? He didn't have to stop. Salvation is now. Don't say tomorrow until an appointed. This is just the real time now. Not tomorrow. Don't delay until next tomorrow. Don't delay until next week. Until I finish my course, until I finish my school, until I finish my business, until I'm married, until I have children. No. Now is the acceptable time. Bow your head. Recognize you are a sinner in need of Savior. And thanks be to God. Romans 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Tell Jesus, I'm a sinner. Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive all my past sins. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again after 3 days. I believe you are coming back again for me. I accept you as my personal Lord and Savior. Say that prayer and mean it with all your heart, and that's the beginning of the new life. And see for a Bible-believing church where you can worship God and you'll be discipled. The Lord God bless you and enrich you. And fellow brothers and sisters, please remember that we are ministers of reconciliation. Jesus is coming soon. He said we should occupy till he comes. Occupy doing what? Occupy doing his business. What's his business? soul winning, any day, any time, anywhere. Be an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. Praise the Lord. I want to appeal to you. Wake up, brothers. Wake up, sisters. If there's anybody sick, same power to save, power to heal. I want to pray for those who are sick. If you are sick physically and you want to come out, you can come out. I lay hands upon you. Receive healing in the name of Jesus. And those who are online, the same thing. You are sick, believe the word of God. I'm sending for the word of God now. Bible says God sent his word and healed them. The same word of God, same power to save, same power to heal and to deliver. Father, in the name of Jesus, your word says by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. Lord, that's about 2,000 years ago. Lord, as many as are ailing in their body, many as are sick, I declare them whole in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing in the name of Jesus. Doubt your doubt and embrace healing in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ took 39 stripes on your behalf so that all sickness of any description might be taken away. The sickness of the Egyptian shall not come near you in the name of Jesus. You are set free. You are liberated from every power of darkness in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray.